The following is an interview between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Newsweek magazine, recorded July 14, 1976, in New York.
People are interested in the development of a man like you, because they relate, and that way they decide to read what you write.
My thing is that if you are interested in our book, so read our books, you will understand.
You will understand you?
Yeah, yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
A man is known when he's fixed. Tavatcha sovati murkha javat kinchin navhasa. A fool is so long beautiful as long as he does not speak. When he speaks, then he can understand what he is. So my speaking is there in the book. And if you are intelligent, you can understand. You haven't got to ask. The speaking, let's say in a court, a big lawyer is known when he speaks. Otherwise everyone is a good lawyer. But when he speaks in the court, then he is known whether he is a good lawyer or not. So you have to hear. You have to read. Then he will understand. Real understanding is there.
Do you think that someday the Krishna consciousness movement will spread to all the people in the world?
That is not possible. Because it is more for the most intelligent class of men. So this movement is for the most intelligent class of men.
But amongst the most intelligent classes?
Unless one is intelligent class, belong to the Hindu, he cannot understand. So we don't expect that everyone is intelligent. Krishna jeva haje sevara chotu. Unless one is very intelligent, he cannot become Krishna consciousness. Because it is a defined subject matter. People are engrossed with the bodily concept of life. It is beyond that. So a dull brain cannot understand what is beyond this body. So you cannot expect that everyone will understand Krishna consciousness. That is not possible.
There's been a lot of talk of genetic perfection of mankind, or say, attempting at genetic perfection.
What is genetic?
What is genetic perfection?
We were discussing yesterday about the science of genetics. They try to understand the traits that form, how the body and mind are formed, and then
that
try to change.
That we have already read the book.
Sarup Damodar's book.
Yeah.
What is your question?
My question is, if you were mentioning earlier about, you know, using the technological tools, now if there is some society where there is some...
That book is not here?
No.
No ad?
When
she
has
Let me ask you, if through technological means, mankind is somewhat improved. In other words, the average man is much more intelligent, what you would consider now to be an intelligent man.
Intelligent man, if one understands that he is not this body, he is within the body. Just like you have got one sat. You are not the sat. Any one can understand. You are within the sat. Similarly, a person who understands that he is not the body, he is within the body. That anyone can understand, because when the body is dead, what is the difference? Because the living force within the body is gone. Therefore we call the body dead.
But there's some very intelligent men who are not spiritually enlightened. Perhaps even men who understand that they are not, you know, or the body is not all, the body is dead, and there's something else. Why aren't these men spiritually aware?
If one does not understand this simple thing, that he is not body, then he is no better than animal.
But
that is the first understanding of spiritual platform. If he thinks that he is body, then he is in the same category as the animals.
Her question is, suppose someone has some faith in life after death, and he also may be an intelligent man by material standards. Why isn't he automatic?
Material standard is no intelligence. Material standard is that I'm this body. I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm fox, I'm dog, I'm man. This is material understanding. The spiritual understanding is beyond that. That I am not this body. And when he tries to understand that spiritual identification, then he is intelligent. Otherwise he is not intelligent.
So does this mean that...
They have been described as mura. Mura means asses. So this is the first understanding that one should not identify with this body.
What understandings come?
That's like dog. Dog understands that he is what? If a man also understands like that, he is body, then he is no better than the dog.
What other understandings come after this one?
After you realize that you're not the body, then what comes next?
That is intelligent question. Then one has to find out that I'm engaged only in this bodily concept of life. Then what is my engagement? And that is the inquiry of Sanatana Goswami, that you have relieved me from this material engagement. Now, let me know what is my duty. For that reason, one has to go to the spiritual master to know, understand what is his duty now. If I am not this body, then what is my duty? Because I am busy whole day and night for this body. I am eating, I am sleeping, I am having sex, I am defending. These are all bodily necessities. If I am not body, then what is my duty? That is intelligence.
What is man?
But you said, what is the next thing after realizing you're not this body? And Prabhupada says, the next thing is to find out what you should be doing. And for that, you take information from a self-realized soul or a spiritual master.
Spiritual master in the form of his books.
Jefferson,
Prabhupada was explaining that now, in the bodily concept of life, we have so many duties. We're working, we're having sex life, we're eating, sleeping, defending ourselves, so many things. All of this is in relationship to the body. But if I'm not this body, then what is my duty? What is my responsibility? So the next thing is that when one understands this, they must take instruction from the spiritual master to make progress and understand what real duty is. It's very important.
Even for eating, sleeping, sex life and defense, we require some knowledge from a teacher. Say for eating, we take knowledge from experts, what kind of eating we should take, what kind of vitamin, what kind of... So that also requires education. And sleeping also requires education. And so for bodily concept of life, one has to take knowledge from others. So when he is above this bodily concept of life, he understands that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. But similarly, he has to take lesson and education from an expert.
Mm-hmm. Could you go over each of the three functions you've been mentioning, eating, sleeping, and sex, and tell me what specifically, what rules or hints that you would give people who are seeking spiritual enlightenment to aid in their lives in these ways?
Yeah, that is our books.
Mm-hmm.
That is our books. We have got enough matter to understand. It is not a thing that we will understand in a minute.
I understand you sleep very little. You sleep 3 to 4 hours a night. Do you feel that this is what any person who is spiritually actualized will also realize?
Yes. You see from the behavior of our Goswamis, they practically had no material necessities. This eating,
no
sleeping, messing, and defending, practically, they had no such thing. They are simply engaged in Krishna's business.
Krishna's business or God's service.
You're setting the example of the three previous spiritual masters.
Well, what I was interested in is why has he found that 3 or 4 hours is a necessary time period for sleep?
In other words, why, she's asking, why is 3 to 4 hours the amount that you sleep? How have you reached that standard?
That is not artificially. The more you are engaged in spiritual activities, the more you become free from material activity.
Naturally.
That is the test.
And so you've arrived at that
I don't speak about myself, but that is the test. Bhakti parasanu bhava virakti annatva sya. If you advance in bhakti, in spiritual life, then you become disinterested in material life.
Do you think there's a difference between various peoples of the world? In other words, do you think that Indians as opposed to Europeans have more of a tendency or are more likely to adhere to the Krishna consciousness?
Any intelligent man can become Krishna conscious, that I already explained. That unless one is very intelligent, he cannot get to Krishna consciousness. So, it is open for everyone. But there are different grades of intelligence. In Europe, America, they are intelligent. But their intelligence is utilized for material purpose. And in India, their intelligence is utilized for spiritual purpose. Therefore you find so many highly spiritual standard of life, books, literature. Just like Vyasadeva was also a household and life, but he was living in the forest and see his contribution of literature. Nobody can dream in it. So by literary contribution, one's intelligence is tested. All big men of the material world, scientists, philosophers, even technicians, they are recognized by their writings, by their contribution, not by their gigantic body.
Could you tell me a little bit about your educational system that you have helped to establish, particularly here in the States?
Gurukula. She's asking if you could tell her about the system of education you have established in America.
That you can see what education I'm giving to my disciples. The first education is that they must be free from all sinful activities. That is the first education. According to the Vedic instruction, a man is supposed to be educated, even from material point of view, a man is supposed to be educated when he sees every woman as mother.
As
mother.
Uh-huh. He sees every woman as his mother.
That is the standard of education. Mātrivat paradāresu paradabhesu loskava. Ātavat sarvabhūtesu japasyati sa pandita. Pandita means educated. So, how is educated? How it is tested? And when a person takes all women except his wife as mother, then he is educated. When one thinks others' property as garbage in the street, then he is educated. And when one thinks that all living entities are of the same level, ātvat sarva-bhūte, then he is educated. Not that for my convenience I say the animal has no soul, but send them to the slaughterhouse. He is not educated.
He says, Prabhupada said, one of the standards of education is to see all living entities equally. So not that we say that an animal has no soul, therefore he can go to the slaughterhouse, but a man has soul, so he cannot. But we see all living entities equally, so we do not send man to slaughterhouse, and we do not send animals to slaughterhouse. That is education.
What, in your system, what do you propose to do with criminals?
What do you propose to do with criminals in your educational system? How will you reform them?
Criminals should be punished.
Punished?
Yeah.
How so?
How seriously should they be?
That we have to consult. Shastra, that is direction. Practically it is the same, just like Manusangita. He says if one is a murderer, then he should be killed. Life for life. He should be hanged. That is the old system. The king used to kill a murderer. So that is almost the same punishment.
What
Prabhupada said is that you have to consult the ancient law books which were written, which are part of Indian culture thousands of years ago.
Part of the Vedic script.
That there are law books. Just like we have books of philosophy, there are also books of law, how to govern society, how to deal with criminals. He said that it should be... In other words, we're sticking to the Vedic literatures. As they instruct, we are following.
What do the Vedic literature say about adultery?
What about adultery, though?
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know, what do the Vedas say should be the... What is the reaction for adultery? How does one deal with an adulterer? Someone's an adulterer and he's caught. What should be the...
No, there is no such direct punishment, but it is private. It is private.
There's no direct punishment, but it is prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the education and the social convention, it is prohibited. Not that the government allows propaganda to be made for illicit sex.
Other words, the woman who is chaste, he is very much glorified.
She's referring to now the system that we have for our children, Gurukula. So what's the question?
My question is, because they are receiving this education, physical and spiritual education, so they will be free of corruption and sin, they might still, even with this education, they still might not be intelligent, what you consider intelligent people. How, you know, is it more likely that they will be what you would term intelligent, having been educated in this system?
There are different types of education, just like in the material world. There is education for medical man, there is education for engineer, there is education for so many other departments. Similarly, there is education how to make one man spiritual. So we are going to give education how to become spiritually advanced. That is our purpose.
Advanced. That is our purpose. Now her question was whether all the people that go to our Gurukula will become spiritually advanced.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. That is Gurukula education.
Even though some are born with more intelligence and some are born with less intelligence.
It doesn't matter. Average intelligence is good.
Well, then conceivably it seems that almost, you know, threatening to our society could adhere to Krishna consciousness.
So then, since it doesn't matter whether less intelligent, small intelligent, if they go to Gurukula, they can become spiritually advanced.
Yes, because spiritually, everyone is free from material bondage. So, materially we find one is more intelligent, one is less intelligent. But spiritually, everyone can be equally intelligent.
So what about the common man? If he accepts the Gurukula system, he can also be spiritually advanced?
Oh yes, anyone.
See, Prabhupada's point in the beginning was whether they'll accept it or not. But once they accept it, once they get trained, then they'll automatically be advanced. His point in the beginning was that whether they'll accept it or not, that requires intelligence.
Except to undergo that type of conditioning.
Or training.
And also, I think he's defining his definition of intelligence in the spiritual realm as opposed to material.
Prabhupada said intelligence means you accept the process of Krishna consciousness, or you accept to be trained to be spiritually advanced.
It's a hypothesis. It's like a hypothesis.
Don't you find the whole Krishna movement more successful in an age and an era when there is such laxity of moral standards and spiritual leadership and direction?
Right. At any stage of life, if one accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness, he can make advance.
She asked, is it more favorable for spreading Krishna consciousness if there are some material problems?
Social problems.
Social problems. If there is a lack of God consciousness, then people become frustrated. Is that a more favorable situation for Krishna consciousness to take root?
Yes. If we arrange social, political, and everything favorable to spiritual understanding, then it becomes easier.
Probably saying the opposite of what you hypothesized. That if everything is arranged socially, politically, everything, in a God-conscious, Krishna-conscious manner, it becomes easier to accept the principle of God-conscious, Krishna-conscious.
Just like, these are all discussed in the Bhagavad Gita what kind of social arrangement should be. That it is called Varnasram Dharma. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, so these are defined groups. And if they are favorably trained up, then spiritual understanding becomes very easy.
Can you tell me a little bit about the future, the direction of the movement, how you plan to expand?
That is going on already. Just like these boys, they did not know about Krishna some years ago, but they are taking seriously. The same process, if it is continued, then people will take.
In other words, Prabhupada sees that if we just continue the programs that he has introduced, just like we have already become members, similarly, many others will continue to become members in the future if we just continue the same programs which made us members.
Chanting.
Namely, the chanting of the mantra, distributing of the books, distribution of the
and
food.
Following the regulatory principles.
And very carefully following the training system that Prabhupada has given us for becoming advanced spiritually. That involves what to eat and what not to eat, and how to avoid taking drugs and intoxicants. Certain principles.
Prabhupada is creating a class of purified persons. So they are located throughout the world, and if other persons come to them, then they become purified. Just like we've come to Prabhupada, and we've been purified. Similarly, his disciples are empowered to purify others, because they've become pure. And that way, it increases geometrically.
An educational process. Like someone coming from the street, you can't expect that he's given a degree in chemistry. He has to be trained up. So the educational process goes on and goes on. It stands naturally.
It's like in the beginning, Prabhupada was teaching Bhagavad Gita personally to his disciples. But now in each one of his over 100 temples throughout the world, his instructions are being taught. He's expanded himself through his books and his temples. So anyone who enters into them, they're associated with him and becoming purified. So more temples will open, people come and become purified.
Are you prepared to die?
What is this question?
Are you prepared to die?
What does that mean?
You are not prepared? I don't judge. You are not prepared to die?
I haven't thought about it too much.
Why? You are asking me why? Because you are afraid.
Pardon?
Because you are afraid. You are not prepared to die.
Perhaps that's the reason.
Everyone will die, you prepare or not prepare, you will die. It doesn't matter whether you are prepared or not. Death must be there.
Our philosophy, as Prabhupada said in the beginning, is that spiritually there is no end. There's no such thing as death for the soul, the self-realized soul. There's simply death of the body.
These things are discussed. Na hannate hannavane sarire. Find out this word.
The book is.
It is an educational movement. It is not a religious movement, gentlemen. One requires to be educated, then he is completely on the spiritual path.
Let me ask you one more question before he reads the passage.
Now, first of all, about death.
The translation is, for the soul, there is never birth nor death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain.
And there is no question of death for a spiritually realized person.